SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
So I made the radio faux pas. We do the good, the bad, the dumb here. And I wouldn't want to miss this because I'm sure we have some really good. And I think we have some pretty good dumb. So what is the good for this Wednesday morning?
The good for today is this high school kid coming out of Texas. I want to get the school right. Strake Jesuit. It's a college preparatory school. Anyways, okay. What makes this story good is that he was competing in the state championships. He ran the 100 meters. And his time in the 100 meters would have put him seventh at the 2016 Olympics.
Oh, really?
He ran a 9.98.
Really? Wow, that's incredible.
He was flying. And I just, you know,
good for him.
We don't talk track and field ever.
So yeah,
I saw this and I was like, oh, we're going to talk track. We're going to give, his name is Matthew Bowling. We're going to give Matthew Bowling a little love today. 9.98. And it would have put him at seventh place in the 2016 Olympics. Overall.
Hey, I mean, that's awesome. You know, good for him. That is a really good.
Going, he would have been, you know, neck and neck with the likes of like Usain Bolt or Justin Gatlin.
That's impressive. No, that really is impressive. Well done.
Blew my mind when I saw that. I was like, wow.
You know, now that's a really good.
The funny thing was, SportsCenter was showing a clip of it yesterday, and I caught it, and I'm like, why are they showing track and field? It didn't make any sense to me, and they were running it backwards pretty much, or like, you know, they were running it the opposite direction that they normally would run.
Right.
You know, which just seemed, I was like, oh, maybe that's why they're doing it backwards, and maybe that was a mistake. Maybe it's, you know, part of the not top 10 of the week or something. I don't know, but then, you know, I read more into the story. I was like, okay, all right, we got an actual runner, only a high school kid. He hasn't even matured yet. Committed to the University of Georgia.
Oh, good. Good for him.
So University of Georgia, going to definitely be getting some love.
So he must win everything that he competes in.
He has to.
Like,
if he's that fast, close.
Like, I mean, that's... Because I always, my kid does track and field, right? He does a number of events, and I always go, hey, have you ever been at one of these meets where somebody's like, man, that's like Olympic time? And he said once in New Jersey, there was a guy that was a senior that ran something really fast, and that people were saying, boy, that could have qualified him for the Olympic team in that capacity. But I'm always curious because that's the one sport you can compare.
Yeah,
right. Like 100 meters is 100 meters, right? I mean,
I kid you not. It was, you watch the race, and he is, I mean, from the get go, you know, the first 10 meters, it looks like, you know, okay, this is going to be a competitive race. From that moment on, he turns it on, and he is just light years ahead of everyone.
That's amazing. That is awesome. That is great.
What it reminds me of, it's like that one race where Usain Bolt turned and looked at the camera. You know, except he kept running hard. Now, there was a good battle for second and third, you know, but those guys were probably, what, 0.2 seconds off of his.
Yeah.
Which is a huge amount of time in the 100 meters.
This is really cool because when you're like a good baseball player, like a really good baseball player, they could still make the argument, yeah, but when he gets to the pros, you know, we'll see if he can hit the curveball. Right, it's the same in golf, right? If you're a really good high school golfer, yeah, but when you play the courses, the length of the courses, the PGA courses, like, we'll see. But when you run track, it's the same thing. You can compare yourself to Usain Bolt.
You can.
There's no special track at the Olympics that they use rather than, it's a track. A track's a track. 100 meters is 100 meters.
Yeah.
So if you run a 9.97, that's how you can compare yourself to some of the best in the world.
Well, I mean, and the way you look at this is, you know, comparing it to, say, the 2016 Olympics. I mean, he was literally 0.4 seconds behind Usain Bolt.
That's fantastic. That's unbelievable.
That's huge. And he's a high school kid. He's 17, maybe 18. That's it.
This should be a bigger story.
It should be a bigger story,
but it's track and field. We don't care about it like the Europeans do.
I just sent you a link to the video, so you'll have to check it out.
All right, so what is the bad?
The bad of the day. I actually have two.
Okay.
I have two bads. One's just bad, and the other one's scary bad. The just bad one is the Game of Thrones cinematographer, Fabian. I'm going to give him a German-sounding name, Fabian Wagner. Or Wagner, but it's Wagner. He pretty much is calling everyone poor and dumb for complaining about how dark the Battle of Winterfell was.
No, he's poor and dumb for not making that so it's well lit enough for me to see what was going on.
His issue is that a lot of the problem is that a lot of people don't know how to tune their TVs properly.
Oh, stop with that nonsense.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, watch it on small iPads.
Oh, this is an argument that I've heard. I've heard this argument where people got it worse when they were on the iPad watching it on HBO Go.
I had to bring it up because that, to me, you know, I'm new to the whole Game of Thrones thing. I'm doing it unconventional where I'm watching the current season just so I feel, you know, cool. You know, I want to be a part of the cool kids and, you know, and be able to tweet about my Game of Thrones thoughts, even though I have none.
Right.
But I'm also watching the series as I go along, you know, watching it. It's like, you know, I'm ashamed that I never got into it. I was a big fan of Lord of the Rings, and this is like Lord of the Rings a little bit on steroids.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It is.
This is a Lord of the Rings that I can't watch with my kids. But, looking back at that battle scene, and I'm going to put it in comparison to this, and I'm not giving any spoilers away because everyone knows that there's going to be a big battle in Avengers Endgame. But you watch, I saw the Battle of Winterfell first, and then I saw the battle in Avengers Endgame. You can clearly see everything that's going on in Endgame.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, you know who's who, and it's chaotic. It really is chaotic. And with the Battle of Winterfell, I couldn't tell I couldn't tell which dragon was which.
No, it was awful.
And
it was
had
awful.
Three to choose.
It was atrocious. One of the commentators I heard said that they filmed it through a potato. It was bad. He is dumb because what did he say? People
don't know how to tune their TVs
tune
properly.
Tune their TVs properly. Goodness gracious. This isn't 1980s 3D where you bought the glasses at the 7-Eleven and they were like, now turn the contrast this way and turn. Right. No. I have a high definition television. I have an expensive television. I was supposed to see that crystal clear. You were supposed to make that happen for me and you didn't. And it was awful. And you should be ashamed of yourself. Well, you failed at your job. Just admit it and move on.
I mean, at first, when I was first watching, I'm like, all right, they're keeping it dark because I think they want to convey that feeling of, you know, how frightening this is, how you can't see and it's pitch black. And then, you know, or, you know, when the battle scene actually happens, how chaotic battle scenes are. You really don't know where. And I was getting that artistic approach. But then after a while, you're like, okay, I just want to know, is this guy still alive? Is that guy still alive? I can't really tell who's alive, who's winning. You know, I mean, is that tall giant of a lady, did she survive? Is she okay? You know, Brienne?
Brienne, yeah.
You know,
she made it.
Are we sure?
I don't know. That's a good point. I'm not 100% sure.
So, yeah, that's just bad. The scary bad of the day, and you're going to be right up this alley. Maybe even your wife will be into this as well. But there's a bunch of scientists from all around the world who are meeting coming up shortly. They're meeting soon to discuss how to stop a giant space rock that could kill us all.
Wait a minute. When is this happening?
It's a hypothetical. There isn't really a giant space rock.
By the way, I don't want to sound like I was excited that we were all going to die from a space rock.
Well, I thought you were getting excited like, oh my God, you know, I haven't finished everything on my bucket list yet.
Right. No, yeah.
No, they're just meeting to kind of figure out like what would we do if a 65-foot asteroid appeared out of nowhere. And the whole reason behind this, it used to be, I guess it was like a laughable concept, but remember that that meteor that flew over Siberia or Russia or whatever? A couple of years, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, that came out of nowhere. No one, they didn't really see that coming at all.
Man.
And then all of a sudden there's just this gigantic fireball that's blasting out windows and buildings hundreds of miles, 100 mile radius.
We need Morgan Freeman as president.
We do, but
he'll build a series of caves
where the scary dumb comes from. And this will actually occur in 2022. NASA plans to test this idea out on a real asteroid that's 492 feet across. So, I mean, a decent size space rock, right?
Yep.
They are going with the DART mission, which is a double asteroid redirection test.
Oh, so they're going to try to deflect it and bounce it off the atmosphere or something?
Basically, it's like they're going to drive like a cosmic bumper car.
Oh, God.
Don't we know that that doesn't work?
No, that doesn't work.
I mean, movies have already proved that, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's not going to work. Remember when in Deep Impact, the other one that was not the Armageddon one, they actually blew up a nuclear missile. I'm sorry, a nuclear bomb in the asteroid, and it just split in two, and it was still heading towards Earth.
Yep.
I remember Taya Leone came on TV, and she was basically telling everybody how it failed, and now just kiss your loved ones because it's all coming to an end.
It's all ending.
I remember watching both of those movies thinking this is a horrific way to go. Like the idea of like the blackened, clouds, no sun, vegetation dies, basically anarchy. It would be awful.
Well, the other thing that makes it horrific is just the fact that, once it becomes common knowledge, because I do believe with Deep Impact and Armageddon, where they're like, the only 9 satellites can detect it. We control 8. And, they can keep all that stuff hush-hush. They'll know way, way in advance, and they won't tell anybody. But for us, we'll find out. We might have, like, a week.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Well, the billionaires of the world will get advance notice, and they'll be put into a special cave.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. All right, so the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day is Samsung is introducing the Sero. That's S-E-R-O, a 43-inch TV that was designed with the millennial generation in mind because it can pivot horizontal to vertical.
The TV can do that?
Yes, but why do we need a vertical TV?
Yeah, why do you need a vertical TV? The phone I get, but why do you need the vertical TV?
I guess so you have like a 43-inch phone?
Oh, God, these people.
I mean...
New millennials out there. I don't know why the world caters to you.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know why. I'm trying to think of like what the point would be to have a 43-inch screen TV going vertical.
Yeah, exactly. So you can rent food and then watch your television vertically like you do on your phone. Does anybody watch videos on their phone vertically?
No.
Like, whenever I go to YouTube on my phone, I always flip it horizontally.
Yeah, and don't we always complain when somebody shot it vertically? You're like,
Yes, we hate that. Yeah, we don't like that.
Because then all of a sudden you have the space, it's still smaller. It's like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, no. We want it. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
We all know to turn our phones horizontal.
How much does this TV cost? Does it say?
Oh, it doesn't say yet.
Oh, okay.
It'll be too much.
Exactly. Caters too much. Millennials, you get catered too much. But stop
it. I don't get it. There's just no point in having a vertical TV. First of all, if you're not mounting it on your wall, it's just going to look weird to sit in your living room standing up and down. Forget about it. For me, I have this huge like entertainment cabinet. It's like I wouldn't be able to put it anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, guys, I know you don't like hearing us say, like, when my day we only had 3 channels. I get it. You roll your eyes. We all did that to generations before us.
We only have horizontal screens.
Exactly. But that think about what you're going to tell your grandkids when you're older. Like, well, back in my day, we only had 2 ways to watch TV, horizontal and vertical. Now you guys are doing it sideways and angles and 35, 45 degrees and backwards and upside down.
Yep, back in my day,
we only had 2, vertical and horizontal. Yeah. And my grandfather, he only had it one way. It was a big old box.
Okay, just real quick. I mean, maybe this is a conversation for another time, but how soon do we have a sitcom shot in VR?
Good point. Yeah.
Because, 3D was pretty amazing technology. But now when you see these virtual realities, it's like, okay, how soon are we just all going to be wearing goggles and a sitcom or a TV show or a movie is going to be shot in VR so it makes you feel like you're in the middle of it all?
Yeah, that's very true.
If no one has thought of that, I claim it.
Claim it. Make that happen. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb here on a Wednesday, SB Nation AM.